Hi everyone, it's Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. If you haven't heard already, we're in a partnership with a great gaming company called Metallic Dice Games. They provide some of the best looking dice and accessories at an affordable price. And here at the Brothel, we're going to make that great price even better. By using our exclusive promo code RBP10 at checkout, you can get 10% off your entire purchase. Even better, Metallic Dice Games is giving a bit of it back to the show to help us cover expenses. So snag yourself a set of premium dice over at metallicdicegames.com and help support the podcast by using promo code RBP10. Check it out today.
The Rancor's Brothel presents The Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
You stand on a path that winds between rocky crags on a mountainside. The sky is dark and full of rolling thunderclouds. You're greeted by a howling wind. For a second, lightning splits the sky, striking nearby mountaintops and illuminating a distant pinnacle of a rock that has a foreboding castle carved into it. This is Jan.
And you said it's rocky?
It's mountainous.
Mount Doom. That's what we called it. It's Mount Doom area.
I thought it was more along the lines of Wicked Witch of the West.
I don't remember what her stuff looked like, but this would be
basically the same thing.
I mean, it's cliffy and craggy, yeah.
That would be Wicked Witch of the West, because in my head, this is the west side of the world.
It actually is the west side of the world.
So it would make sense. Wicked Witch of the West is on the west.
You remember the representation they did in the books and all that's with Mount Dune. It's just like this massive tower of death just hanging out there.
It would make sense with the name Mount Doom.
Well, that's the mountain, the castle, though. Mordor.
It's just this.
You know what? Screw it. Screw you. He knows I mean that in a caring way.
Wise.
Squirt kind of looks back at you and says, "Well, welcome to Yon." As another thunderclap, lightning strikes going across. Very strange, the way that the lightning appears to be utilizing the mountaintops.
It's alive.
Welcome isn't exactly the first word I'd use to this, but sure.
Also, for people at home, these guys did level up to 6. For a couple people, it was ability scores, but I think some other guys got other things.
Most everyone else, I got a class feature. I think everybody got a class feature at 6 or no?
Not everybody.
You got level up. Did you get anything?
Class feature.
Okay. What was yours?
Mine was Aura of Protection.
Oh, you got the aura, so everybody within, 10 feet?
Mm-hmm. They end up getting +4 to saving throws now.
Just saving throws?
Yeah, for any saving throw.
I didn't know if it was... I know certain auras do different things. I didn't know if it was just saving
throws. It's the only one I have at the moment, but the next one I get is actually pretty fun, too.
Yeah, because your conquest. I was thinking of there's one that's like you get increased like attack rolls. Like your attack roll gets a modifier, I think.
That's something else I have.
I think that's a different one. Not conquest.
But go on later.
As you guys kind of walk a rough path, in the distance you see two figures standing on an outcrop of rock. Outlined against the stormy sky, one is a slender female elf wearing a crescent moon mask. The other is a 3-foot-tall dandelion with a small rapier strapped to its stem. A honeybee the size of an orange buzzes around the dandelion's bright yellow head. And the elf turns and notices you. As she points in your direction, the dandelion draws the rapier and assumes a defensive pose as the honeybee buzzes even more loudly and flies in circles around the two of them.
How big is this honeybee?
The honeybee?
Yeah, it's like the size of an orange.
Okay. How big?
Nope.
It's still not colossal, but if you have a bee allergy, this is probably the most terrifying thing you'll ever see.
I don't think I have a bee allergy.
The dandelion takes a step forward and says, "Halt! Who goes there? Be you friend or foe?"
We're deciding. Give us a moment.
So there was a mention of this dandelion earlier.
Sure was.
But my note does not make that much sense.
What is your note?
It says Abaddon, the dandelion from Yon to Palace.
Abaddon is the name of the... It's like, what? I was like, I hope this dandelion's not named Abaddon. That's kind of frightening.
I mean, did you hear his voice?
Not the name, but you are correct.
What's the name?
1F, Amador.
Okay. That's a little less...
Squirt kind of peeks up terrifying. And says, ah, it's Amador.
Okay, I was like, for a second.
He sort of does his little no-leg walk thing.
Yeah, the demon flower.
I just imagine Amador looks like a bell sprout, but is a dandelion.
He is...
Does he have an image?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
But you have not yet responded, so he is in defensive pose.
I'm friendly. I'm merely a puppet wishing to be real.
We're new here, so I suppose friend.
Undecided.
Do you work with the witches or against them?
They look at each other and start laughing. And the elf kind of says, screw the hags. There's Amador.
It killed a thistle in this image.
And you can see the little bee.
And the name of the bee is Pollinella.
Yes.
Aww. Oh, it beheaded another thistle. Oh, no, it didn't behead. It stabbed it in the head, but it cut it in half. Okay. Now I get the image.
Can I get insight on whether or not that seems like a legitimate response, or are they...
Sure.
15?
Yeah, she's absolutely saying screw the hag.
Okay.
And Amador says, kind of takes another step forward, doesn't really have a face, and you can see that from the photo, and looks down and sees Squirt and says, ah, Squirt, my friend, and then just puts his rapier back. If you are with Squirt, you must not be evil.
Seems like a low bar of reasoning, but sure.
Well, Squirt would not help you through Yon.
We had to help Squirt, so... Fair is fair.
Yeah. Totally. And,
like, the bee is, like, still going, Pollinella, calm yourself. And she kind of just lands on his shoulder.
If it helps anymore, we've kind of killed two of them, so...
Two of what?
Hags.
The hags.
He looks back at the elf, and the elf kind of, like... leans in and whispers something into, if he had an ear, into his ear, and he nods rapidly and says, well, then you are indeed who we need.
Yeah, we killed Scabby and Slackjaw.
See, our resume speaks for itself.
Thanks, Zabilna, you've come.
Zabilna had nothing to do with it.
Sadly, Zabilna has not much to do with anything these days.
Lazy piece of shit.
She's still getting the bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, surveying sort of the area, like, is it safe to say that, like, this is Yon, like, this castle, or?
No, the castle would have, the castle has a name that has never come up.
But I mean, but like.
You're in Yon.
Okay.
They're all kind of peninsulas. Like, it's like the peninsula of Yon.
Okay.
For some odd reason, if you look at the map, and I will show you the map once you guys reach the palace, because there's names and stuff all over it. There's not a player friendly version of it that doesn't reveal shit.
Well, what I mean is, like, do I get the sense that there's a decent amount of land to?
Oh yeah, it's just as big, if not larger.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is sort of at the entrance of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, "I am Amador, and this is Pollinella." And this, my masked friend here, is Gleam.
So Gleam is an elf?
Female elf. Wait, is she... Did it specify dark elf or just elf? I don't recall.
You've only said a younger-looking elf at this point. Or I don't even know if you said younger-looking. Yeah. But
just says female, slender female elf.
That's it.
I did take remove curse. Just saying.
And you guys aren't spell. Like in a particular area. You're kind of just along the path, and they were just conversing.
Okay, I didn't really look at it because I was like, "Is there a spot so we have like a view of where we are?"
Yeah, I mean, there's not. There really isn't a thing. There's
that's fine
here. It's just an outcropping of a space that's a little more open, but it's all still rocks. And there goes the map.
Who resides Hoo-wah. In yonder castle?
Huh. Yonder castle.
You mean the bitter end. Indolin, as they call her.
Oh, that's her name.
Indolin Moongrave.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Well, if you're quite aware of the other two hags, you should be quite aware of her.
I totally did not have her name right. No, I had her called Emmy.
Just didn't quite expect to walk into Yon and already be at the hag's front door.
Oh, no, you're not. Okay. That castle's very far off.
But we can see.
You caught a glimpse of it when the lightning struck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
far away.
Is this going to be like a lightning crash whenever we say something specific, like in Young Frankenstein?
Not always. It just seems to happen. But
why does that happen?
Like every time it happens, it seems like it travels along and towards the castle.
It's alive. It's got to be something.
Is the lightning happening sort of all around Yon, or is it? I know it's going towards the castle, but is it mainly happening at the around the castle, or
no? Seems to be the whole area.
Okay.
It just seems like there's a constant low grumble of thunder. It's all cloudy. It probably will rain off and on as you guys go, but it just doesn't seem to ever end. But a very large lightning strike seems to continuously connect to the mountaintops as it goes.
Is weather like this pretty normal?
Here in Yon? Yes.
Is that normal just because of the hags being in charge, or?
Very much so.
It's not always been this way.
No, Prismir was once beautiful. Now, Yon was always mountainous, but it was once beautiful.
Hmm. So you said that we are those you were looking for. What does that quite mean to you?
Heroes. Someone to help save this land. Restore Zabil.
Help save. Huh. So you'll be doing your part too?
I can only assume that you, as my new friends here, will wish to enter the castle at some point. I can take you there. And only I.
Well,
rephrase that. The palace. Zabilna's palace, not Moongrave's castle.
Okay.
Okay.
Ah, so that's what that meant.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Let me clarify that. Now that I said it out loud, I'm like, wait, no. There's two castles. The palace is what he's what he means.
Yeah.
After we beat the hag. Correct?
We're not going to beat her. Kill her. I mean, we might beat her, I suppose.
Yeah. If he's the one that does the he's killing pretty blow, he's and pretty if beady. He maybe pins her to a wall with the trident, because that's his goal, just pin her to the wall.
A few months back here, once I freed Paulinella here from her Cyclops beekeeper, we crossed paths here with Gleam. We became fast friends. After hearing her very sad tale, I am resolved to help her.
What tale is that?
You see, Indolin snipped off Gleam's shadow. And, like, as soon as he says it, you see the lightning strike, and there is no shadow.
We just gotta sew it back on, right?
If only it were so easy.
Because soap doesn't work.
She used a pair of magic scissors. And also has imprisoned her twin sister named Glista.
So where does the shadow reside? Do we know, or is it...
We presume that Indolin still has it.
Kind of want those scissors now.
See, the twins, Glista and Gleam, used to work as an acrobatic duo. In fact, they once performed, what was that place called? And Gleam says, the Witchlight Carnival.
Oh, we're familiar.
She says, it's been a very, very long time since we've been there. Decades, in fact. So it would have been before your guys' time there.
Yeah. Few days for us. Weeks.
Gleam
we
kind of...
really know how long we were there.
Well, no. How long have we been here?
Oh, yeah. We don't know how long we've gone either.
It's kind of a good question. Maybe a little over a week, probably.
We've done a lot of work in a week. We took out two hags. We are cruising.
And Gleam kind of just steps in and says, I wish to free my sister and, of course, find my shadow.
Well, yeah, those are definitely things that we can all help with. That's all that takes place at the castle, you're saying? That's where she's being kept?
Yes.
Now, if you had to choose one, because we can only do one of the two things, which would you prefer?
My sister first.
Hmm.
And then we wish to return to the carnival any way we can. Perhaps using the Fey Beacons.
The what?
And Amadora kind of goes, yes, the Fey Beacons. It's an area here in Yon. The rumor has it that if you light all the beacons, the last person to light the final beacon thinks of a place they wish to go and it opens a portal. And then you simply dive in. And Gleam says, there's actually someone else here that's trying to do the same, but is not having any luck working by himself. He calls himself the Elf Prince Algatharas. He was also once a prisoner held by Andolin.
What kind of elf?
Just says Elf Prince. I don't.
Dang.
I'm just curious.
You said she's a wood elf?
Just an elf.
Just says elf.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
Algatharas. Algatharas.
It's always pompous. That's what it's pompous. Thinks he's got that. Well, like, I don't know, fancy. Could always lean into, like, the Eldarin, which are the Fey Elves.
Hmm. Apparently, he made some sort of bargain with the hag. You can ask him yourself if we ever visit there. The details to me are a bit strange. But then again, it is a hag. But he is attempting to get home.
Where are these beacons?
A little north and east of here. We'll come across Lockberry Henge first.
Expected it to be at the palace.
Amador kind of steps in and says, you are aware, I presume, of Indolin's fear of her demise?
I guess I don't know if we've been told of her fear, but that she's just foreseen her death at an eclipse.
Precisely, my friend.
Yeah.
Do you know when the eclipse is?
He looks up at the sky and says, well, there is no moon, now is there?
It's happening right now.
It's been eclipsed.
I mean, it's not nighttime. It's just, he says, we have not seen a moon and yawn for years.
No eclipse, no death.
He says, because there is no moon in the sky, we believe the hag assumes the eclipse is much more of a symbolic display rather than a literal one.
We need to make some papier-mâché.
He looks at Gleam and says, you see, since the Selinian twins are the living embodiment of the moon and the sun, the hag decided to separate them.
Okay.
Releasing Gleam and taking her shadow and keeping the other as her guest.
We need to save the twins.
By keeping them apart.
Mm-hmm.
She hopes to forestall her doom.
The who twins?
Selinium.
Selinian. That's their last name.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
chemical sisters.
I think it's SN.
Or is that might be what they used to call themselves at their as their acrobatic act. Either way, it's S E L E N E L I O N. Selenium. Selenium.
Okay, I was like, selenium is different.
That is an element.
S E. Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember. I was like S N. I think that's 10.
Yeah.
I used to know the periodic table, but I don't.
They were just called the Selenium twins. So it's either their last name and or possibly the name of their acrobatic duo.
So we have to find a way to save the solar sisters.
10 is SN. Selenlian sounds like a moon and stars thing. So
probably works. Selene, right. Moon.
Yeah. And then I just immediately think of Sun Drop and Moon Drop from the new FNAF game. Because they're the sun and moon and they're very different personality types. But they're one character. It's a split personality. Or disassociative identity disorder more readily, but it's a robot, so it doesn't matter.
They're all a little off.
Yeah.
So what tangents. Side quests do we need to
not do and just immediately rush?
Do we need to visit this elf prince before we try to take the castle?
He is north and west of here. North and east of here. Like I said, you'll come across the Lockerberry Henge first. It's where the Cords hang. Cords are wonderful, interesting creatures, actually. Strange fey creatures. Their hairs are strength of iron. They typically dance in Lockerberry Henge, play games, that sort of thing. Sadly, they're at war right now with the Brigannox. Small, tiny creatures. Miners. Literally. Miners. Picks. For some reason, they don't get along. And Gleam says again, we aren't the only ones trying to go back to the carnival here. my sister and I. There's a bugbear named Hurley. He struck a bargain with Enderlin as well. I don't think things went the way he wished.
Yeah, we...
We met his brother, Burley, his brother. Correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burley worked... Okay, that's what I was thinking. Wait.
Hurley went missing, and you guys thought the...
Yep.
The Kanku had something to do with it.
Yep, yeah. Nope, had nothing to do with that. He got sucked away into the land of... I forgot what this place is called. Prismere. He came back.
Good man.
So... Are you saying we need to put down a... Stop a war first, or...?
Not our problem.
Perhaps if you can breach peace between the two, perhaps they'll be able to work together and maybe even help take Enderlin down. Mm. They're both fierce fighters. For some reason, don't get along. I feel perhaps one thinks the other is working with the hag and vice versa.
Which side do you think would be the wiser to broach first?
Well, physically... I mean, but geographically, the Korids are going to be the nearest.
Okay.
Since they're close, but is it a difficult journey, or is it going to be pretty easy?
He turns and looks up at the sky as if he's trying to locate where the sun is at, and goes, that way. And he just starts walking.
That sounds like me.
You can probably take the rope off now.
You're literally on a path that only goes, like, one direction. You either go back to where you came from, or you just keep going.
I'm going to keep the rope.
So I guess we're going this way.
Got no one else to go against, so I'm going to follow.
Yeah. I'm going to try and find popcorn, maybe watch this war unfold.
You guys continue on for maybe a half hour or so, and Amador would just continue to kind of jabber on about the land, about what, you know, about whatever. Like, he just kind of talks a lot.
It's mighty impressive for someone without a face.
Yep. Squirt would have left you, by the way. He would have gone back.
I would assume. I'm curious myself if any of these NPCs that we have spoken to would know of where magical items are that could help us on our quest, and we've yet to ask any of them that.
True. Like, Snickersnack.
Whole world's kind of a magical item.
Yes, but we can't carry that in our pocket.
Yet. Says you.
Currently.
With that attitude.
That's why the word yet was attached to the back of that sentence.
As you guys trundle along, you come across this little stepped-up area off the side of the path. And on it sits what appears to be some kind of a throne carved out of the stone. And around the bottom of it is writing written in Elvish. I don't know who reads Elvish.
I do.
He knows it.
Then you know that it says, I am a traveler from a distant land. My name is Mazikoth, Keeper of Stars. Sit on my throne, disciple, and unravel.
I'll do it.
Okay. There you go.
Sure.
He is King Richard the Lion. Or sorry, the Leonin.
Close enough.
You guys can also make me an int check if you want.
Before I sit on the chair?
No.
The ones I can read.
Oh.
It's an arcana or history.
Oh.
So arcana or history. So you guys can.
Good amount of in.
If you have arcana and or history, you can roll it.
Then that's a 16.
What'd you get?
I can roll history.
Yeah.
You got 21.
Boom.
Nice.
21.
DC was 20.
Nice.
Oh.
And all it is to recall who Mazikoth is.
Do you remember who Mazikoth is?
Apparently so. Apparently, he was an elf and a very celebrated astronomer. Who claimed to hail from a black star at the edge of night?
Sir Isaac Elf.
A little bit.
Sir Isaac Asimov.
Oh, no. Richard sits down on the throne, gets all comfy, as the, you know, king of the jungle should.
It's surprisingly comfortable for a stone chair.
It is. You feel like you fit right on it. Like, it's nice.
It's form-fitting. Memory foam, you could say.
That's impressive.
Memory stone.
And as you sit there and kind of just take it in, you ever stared at something really long and realize like your peripherals start to just go and go until it's almost tunnel vision?
I think we all have.
That's kind of how zoning out works.
Right.
Exactly.
That's kind of what happens. And you guys sit there and watch or stand there and watch as Richard is sitting there, and his face just kind of goes slack. And you basically go on a trip.
I'm going on an adventure.
Cue the psychedelic music and the weird, like, camera shifting.
You can
do that in audio podcast, right?
You have, like, this weird, almost this daydream of you hurtling through space towards a faraway dead star.
I just keep hearing Jefferson Airplane playing.
I was about to say, you just need to have some, like, Starlight royalty.
Express. Starlight Express.
That, what I'm saying is you just need like, the royalty-free version of one of those, and then the edit, just start playing that as it starts.
Or you can just play the instrumental version, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
And that's what it is. Like, this, you just feel like you're just hurtling and towards a star. At the end of the dream... you arrive on the star's cold surface and kind of wake up at a start, and you feel empowered. You get a choice: Arcana, Deception, History, Insight, Intimidation, or Survival. You may now check off one of those as proficient.
Ooh.
Which one do you want?
Well, let's see here.
What were they again?
Arcana.
Arcana.
Deception.
Check next to it.
Just so he knows which ones.
Deception.
Too many points.
Okay.
History. Insight.
Got that one already.
Intimidation.
Got that one.
Or Survival.
Survival. Okay. So I got four to choose from, because Insight and Intimidation Insight are ones I've already got. Let's see here. There's Arcana, which I have +2 from my...
So that would be a +5 to Arcana checks.
Yeah, because you're going to add your proficiency bonus now.
Yeah.
To History.
Which one will you get the biggest buff out of?
Let's see. Deception, I have a +4 in right now.
So you have a +9.
Yeah.
Or not 9, +7. Why did I add 5?
Yeah. Another level before you get that proficiency bonus, I think. Take level 7.
Maybe.
Does it say whether or not you can gain expertise if you're already proficient?
No. You gain proficiency in something.
That'd be insane.
Okay, so let's see here. Checks against checks.
9th level, so we won't ever get to 4.
So.
Gotcha.
In my boots, what would you guys end up doing, probably?
What?
Arcana, History, Deception, or Survival?
And you'd plan on raising your wisdom? If you do a +2, a level up. If you do the +1, +1,
mm-hmm.
What would that ring your wisdom to?
Wisdom, that would pop it up to 16, so I'd get a +3.
So you'd have a +6 on survival, which, does anyone have survival training?
Apparently no one is proficient in survival.
I am proficient in survival.
Oh, okay. What do you have?
I have a 4.
Okay. So you would have a +6, so that's not horrible.
I have a +4 in intimidation and a +3 in history.
Very intimidating.
And Nate, we've got, does anyone have Arcana? Over here?
No.
So,
do you have Arcana?
He doesn't.
Has 3 points in it, but I'm not.
That's because he's Ent. So, if anything, you could take the Arcana, just have the weirdness of knowing about magic.
Well, I am a paladin, and it works for me.
So, it's kind of just filling in our open spot, because we have a survival person. Yeah. No one has Arcana.
I would say
even Arcana. I don't have Arcana, but I'm not Ent. I'm Charisma.
So, you can fill in that box and add your proficiency bonus to the total of your score for that particular skill now.
Okay, let's see.
So you can just kind of come out of it. He's been out of it for an hour. Like, you guys have been, like, slapping him, trying to wake him up, move him. He's nothing. And just suddenly, boom, he's out of it.
Man, you guys have got to try this chair.
I've totally been messing with his character. I've been, like, putting my little child's umbrella with moss. Yeah. And just, I'm like, dressing him up. I've done, because I have costume. Do I have disguise kit? I have a disguise kit. I've been just doing makeup and stuff to your face. You look so weird.
Braids in your mane.
Oh, yeah. I've braided. Weird. There's, like, not good braids.
No. We're talking
about, I don't have the most dexterous of fingers.
We're talking, like, the perm from Beauty and the Beast style hair.
Yeah.
Just horrifying.
And really poorly done makeup, because I've not done makeup on anyone but myself, and it's mainly just touch-up paint.
Well, thank God I have a helmet.
Yeah, I took that helmet off, sir.
I know. Where the hell's my helmet?
It's in your lap.
You wake up and suddenly you feel like you know more about magic than you ever thought you did.
Serendipitous.
I run and hop in the chair.
He jumps in the chair. I just told him it was a great chair. You should definitely try this chair.
It's the best chair you'll ever sit in.
Great Bigly. Chair. Bigly.
Good man.
Nothing happens.
I didn't expect anything. He's like, this chair's okay. I'm just sitting in it.
You're sitting in it wrong.
Apparently doesn't like wood.
Nothing happens.
The I stone. Guess sticks and stones don't like each other, huh?
I will sit in the chair.
Nothing happens.
Would you like to sit in the chair, fish boy?
I'll sit in the chair.
That's kind of rude.
Nothing happens. Yeah. You feel as if you had power, it must be
as everybody out. Keeps calling me fuzzy.
Stupid land-loving Thanks. Chairs.
He pours water on it in his spite. This will eat through you and forever.
Either that or form some really bad spikes for people to sit on.
Or soak it up.
It is a memory foam chair.
A memory stone, we determined.
Yeah, you feel as if it had power, it's definitely tapped out.
Well, fine.
Well, before we proceed, I'm going to wipe this garbage all off of my face. Thank you.
Do you leave the braids?
You leave the braids.
For now.
How do you know you got stuff on you? You don't know.
His face. He woke up as I was still doing something, so I'll give him that. I was saying, like, we're doing stuff. Wake up. I was like, well, if he's not waking up, I'm messing with him.
My fur feels kind of greasy.
He probably feels the braids. He's like, who like them?
As you continue, you see atop a boulder strewn plateau stands a circle of 8 megaliths. In the center of this hinge, a small checkered game board with stone playing pieces rests on the ground near the dying embers of a campfire.
Hmm.
The stone pieces are not massive, but they are very large. I mean, they're like medium-sized.
In terms of checkered board?
Yeah.
So I'm in my head, I'm imagining like a smaller than the megaliths is the idea of smaller, not a small. Well,
The standing stones are 20 feet tall.
Yeah, that's like megaliths are the big things.
Yeah.
And then a small game board, I'm assuming in relation to the megaliths is the idea of small.
Yeah.
And the small, and so I'm picturing the chessboard from the Harry Potter first movie. Like kind that of, kind of size. Kind of, but
maybe not that big.
Okay.
Close.
Big enough for us to step on?
Same idea.
Okay.
Also, each standing stone is a different kind of rock. There's shale, chalk, flint, granite, slate, basalt, obsidian, and marble.
I have a hammer and chisel.
Oh, God.
Does it look like there's a game in
session?
It appears to be as if there was a game in session, yes. Roll me...
beautiful bean footage.
Sorry, Amador kind of goes, crowns. A favorite game of the Cords.
Explain as I roll.
He kind of explains how the game works. It's a little like checkers, the way I understand it.
Well, I got a good roll for that one.
He says, it appears as though they're nearly done. Roll me a survival real quick.
19.
You kind of look around the area and you see that there are definitely like some sooty footprints coming from the campfire as if that was attempted to be stamped out.
Mm.
Two sets that go in separate directions toward two separate 20-foot megaliths. And then they just disappear.
I'm not a fan of megaliths. I like mini-liths better.
What's the thing Cody always does? Dolmen, Menhir?
Dolmen, Menhir.
I just like liths.
I prefer it more as a adjective when attached to somebody.
So did we...
Give me an insight. Well, you rolled something earlier. What did you roll?
I got a nat 20 on insight.
You look at the game board, and you immediately know that they are made out of... One is made of chalk, and one is made of shale, the pieces. And you can see that chalk can win in a single move.
Okay. I am going to do that then.
As a semi-checkers game, I was like, that's not as complex as a chess move. There's a move like, yeah, you're screwed if I go here. Like, you got nothing.
You know what? Let's do it. Seems appropriate.
You move the piece, and as soon as you move the piece, a Korid from the chalk megalith and a Korid from the shale megalith pop out arguing with each other.
Well, he cheated. Now he's not even part of the game. Well, that, and they start going off. He's like, I knew I was going to beat you. You had no idea.
Neat. I'm glad
what
I did
that. What do chords
that.
Look like?
Ah.
We never saw that.
I'll send you a photo.
Cool. I was like, we never really got an idea of what they look like. Are they the ones that you said had the...
steel.
The steel hair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's not made of steel.
But it's steel.
They're actually... The creatures themselves are more like stone.
They are stone. Okay. That's what I thought they were. Because I'd heard about them, but I couldn't remember their names.
So these two Korids jump out, and they're arguing.
It's official.
The one that jumped out of shale introduces herself as Queen Argental. He says, this is Jagu. He says, now which one of you made the last move?
The furry one.
And
this is the other furry one.
Furry one.
Argental picks up a small stone about the size of like a dessert plate. And just like crushes it in her hands. And
once I get another level, I'll be able to do that too.
I'm just going to say the chords I imagine in my head sounding like the leprechaun. So Warwick Davis is leprechaun. Probably. It's kind of how they talk, but less Irish accent.
She squeezes this rock between her hands. And when she pulls her hands apart, you see a star-shaped sapphire and hands it toward you.
Okay. I'm getting all the stuff today.
Just for funsies, this thing is actually worth 1,000 gold.
I want it.
Put it in the sack.
Not that you wouldn't know that, but when she hands it to you...
I need it.
It begins to glow a little bit. And she kind of gives a bit of a bow and says, it will only work for a day, but it should bring you some luck. And it works as Stone of Good Luck.
If he activates it.
Yeah, you'll have to look up what Stone of Good Luck is, because I failed to.
Don't use it. It's worth 1,000 gold. You should ask them if they could make you a diamond worth 50 gold, roughly. Like, it doesn't have to be a great diamond. It could be, like, one they'd use to, like, cut other diamonds or put on drills.
Or maybe we can ask the miners and somebody can do something for them next. Who knows?
Could you just...
We just take one.
There you go.
From the miners.
Thief!
Take it off of the cart.
Scandalous.
I've had this the whole time. What are you talking about? As you just keep picking them off the cart.
He just needs a diamond purely to cast a spell.
My race has bejeweled nuts. You wouldn't know.
She says...
A little known fact about his particular species.
She says, now then, hello visitors, or perhaps acquired prisoners of the Bitter End.
Hi.
Once again, you may call me Queen Argental.
Hello.
Leader of the Korids here in Yon.
How tall is she?
They're like 3... I think they're actually shorter than 3 feet. They're small creatures.
Is she taller than them?
Taller... No. They're all like same size.
You said they're shorter than 3 feet?
I think they're small creatures.
You're technically medium, so you're taller than them.
I'm 3'6", so I might tower over them, sort of.
I'd have to go back to the appendix and see, but...
I can see up
there. They do have a stat block. They do have a stat block. She says, it's always good meeting new friends here. What is your business here on our hinge? Besides finishing our games.
Well, we've heard that you're no friends of Indolin.
Is anyone really?
I don't know.
Other than those damn Briganocks.
I don't know. We're not really from here, so we're kind of learning as we as we go. Well, they're not from here.
Yes, yes.
But also that there's some strife between you and the Briganocks.
Yes. We believe that they are working with Indolin.
Okay.
Well, I suppose we hope to sort of settle this dispute in all hopes that, we can all sort of charge on together towards the castle.
Well, good luck. She says they're artificers, you see. They're making wicked contraptions. Isn't that right, everyone? And then, like, suddenly more chords pop out of more megaliths. They're, like, I think there's 6 total.
Is there one from each stone?
Yeah, Budok of Flint, Azil of Granite, Mezelda of Slate, Yana of Basalt, Noel of Obsidian, and Malo of Marble.
Wait, what of Basalt?
Of Basalt? Yana.
Yana of the Salt.
Yeah. Yana of Basalt.
Oh.
She says they hide all their schematic diagrams and things, these contraptions in their mine, and they create them, terrifying things, and send them off to Endolin. And then suddenly, like, in the... Give me a perception check. Like, suddenly you see them all, like, cover their ears.
Nope.
And hiss.
14.
Yeah, I mean, with your 14, you hear, like, in the distance, like, tink 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 tink, as if someone were, like, mining with picks. But it seems to, like, hurt the Korid's ears, and they hiss. And one of them picks up a stone and just hurdles it, like, 100-plus feet. And when it lands, a big fucking thunderclap hits.
Scary little monsters, aren't they?
More coincidental, perhaps, than literal, but it happens. She kind of screams, Argental screams, and is like, "We hate the mining, the noise. We're trying to scare them as well. You see, we've been working on statues. We place them outside the mine's entrance, hoping to frighten them into leaving. They just won't go anywhere."
So it seems that this notion of them working for Endolin is more pure speculation. What proof do you have?
The contraptions. She has them.
They couldn't have been stolen?
She kind of looks around and goes, "The Breganuk mine is, even to her, difficult to get in and out of."
They couldn't have been forced into making these things for her?
Either way, they're making them for her, aren't they?
Okay, so you're blaming them for being slave labor?
Perhaps you go see for yourself.
Well, what proof do we have that you don't work for Endolin? If we're to inquire proof of them.
They all start spitting. They just all start spitting.
That's that practice of hate towards something. It's just what things do.
Yeah, but again, that...
It doesn't confirm anything, but that's what that's
she
about.
She says, "The best proof we have is this. A Galeb Dur is working with them, infiltrating the mine. Has overheard several Breganoks talking about a secret tunnel. There's a direct connection to Motherhorn."
You're going to have to repeat that.
Sorry.
You said a lot of things there.
"A Galeb Dur is working with us and infiltrated the mine and has overheard several Breganoks talking about a secret tunnel that connects from the mine directly to Motherhorn. The tunnel is hidden by magic."
Motherhorn is...
Lightning strikes and the castle lights up.
That's the word.
It's the name of the castle.
Motherhorn.
Which has come up a couple times.
Motherhorn.
Previous places.
Has it?
Motherhorn's been mentioned as her home, yeah. It's kind of subtle and brief, but it's been mentioned.
Motherhorn. He looks around.
I think we should have the horse name.
Wait. Motherhorn.
So you have a spy working
an idiot.
You have a spy working with them. Who's overheard them make mention of a secret passage from the cave to the castle.
A secret tunnel. They secretly get their contraptions there, yes.
Again, that's speculation.
Do you know of her contraptions? Have you seen them? Have you heard of them?
No, we literally have been in Yon for like 20 minutes.
First things we saw when we got here besides the dandelion and the bee.
They both wave.
The bee waved? Just like arms.
Armador waves and the bee just goes... Zzz.
Okay, that works more.
I kind of like the idea of a tiny bee that's oversized just waving its little tiny little leg.
I've seen video of bees waving.
Just going...
It's cool.
She says she uses a contraption... what was it? And they all kind of go, what was that? The orrery of tragedies. To glimpse all possible futures. Giant copper rods... On the mountaintops of Yon, capture the lightning and channel it to the device. As again, a big lightning strike hits and you can see it zigzagging across the mountaintops towards the castle.
She must be a witch. She has electricity.
Not only that, she tortures us. She steals our hair.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I read how their hair works. It turns into whatever cut their hair. The reason I thought iron is because that's normally what they use, because then they turn that into things.
You guys see that every one of these Korids has like a strength of rope around them, and they're not all the same. Like, they look like different types of rope. And Argental kind of like undoes hers and says, "You see, we make rope from our hair, and we are able to manipulate it magically. Would you like to see how?
Sure.
That seems like a bad idea.
And she like claps her hands, and a couple of them pull out these more like rocks, but they're like drums. They just start beating some sort of almost tribal music. They start beating like mad.
Ew.
Two chords drum on boulders as the others begin to stomp their feet and jump around. And suddenly, any amount of rain that was coming immediately stops, and the sky begins to lighten. And with wild grins and even wilder hair, they dance. And when they dance, the ropes begin to move and meander. And that seems to be the way that they say, "Come, join us."
I got a 25 on performance to join them in dancing.
They teach you a jig.
I do
specific jig.
I do that said jig then.
Yeah. They teach you a specific jig and you learn it very well.
We got it.
And afterwards, they're laughing, they're clapping, they're having fun, and she says, "Now, perform that jig if you have hair or one of our ropes, and you may manipulate it yourself."
Ooh.
Nice.
You got a thing this time.
I got a thing that lets me control their ropes.
Yeah, so as an action, you can perform that jig to manipulate any cord hair that you find as if using the cord's command called hair trait. Sorry. Yeah. Command hair is the name of the trait.
Don't you try pulling that shit on me.
It's hair, H-A-I-R, yes. Not H-A-R-E.
Right.
Doesn't matter. He's still not...
Different dance.
Different dance.
So if we can convince the Briganox to parlay, if you will, would you be willing?
Yes.
I wrote that I have the ability to control cord hair.
Where would be a neutral ground?
Their graves.
She says, "I fear they won't come here. They won't allow us in there, so it's the pathway between."
Okay.
And she says, "Head direct north. That is where their mine is." And then suddenly you hear like the picking sound just like stops.
Okay. I will turn to Imador and Gleam and ask, do they want to stay here with them or come with us?
Amador says, "I can bring you to the entrance, but I dare say we will not enter."
Okay.
"If that is feasible, we can be on our way."
Let's go.
You guys head north.
Thank you all for listening. Wild Beyond the Witchlight is co-written by Stacey Allen, Will Doyle, Ari Leavitch, and Chris Perkins. You can find us online at RancorsBrothel.com and on Facebook at Fans of the Rancors Brothel.